This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and on May 29th, we are celebrating the 100th anniversary of Stravinsky's masterpiece, The Rite of Spring. And perhaps you've heard we're featuring a solo piano version by Vicky Chow downstairs in the green space. But on our sister station, Q2, composer Phil Klein is hosting Rite of Spring Fever, a 24-hour marathon celebrating all these different interpretations of Stravinsky's work. It's all day and all night on May 29th, and there's more details online at q2music.org and right here in the studio where Phil Klein joins me. Hey, Phil.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. So lots of different versions. I mean, it was an established classic pretty early on, but there are a couple of recordings, a couple of conductors who seem to have a real knack for this piece. And who would you say is a good example of a classic Stravinsky conductor?
Well, there's Igor himself. He wasn't really considered to be a great conductor.
No,
but
he wasn't.
He made a very good version with the New York Philharmonic in 1940, which you can find. It's actually, if you search for it, it's out there. But then he made a classic version for CBS Columbia Records in 1960, also with the Philharmonic, but for contractual reasons, they were called the Columbia Symphony Orchestra. And I think it was a combination of he had either played, you know, practiced that piece so many times that he really could do it. I think a lot of it had to do with the musicians knew who was up there on the podium. They played their butts off for him because it's an incredibly exciting performance.
The famous opening of Stravinsky's Rite of Spring from 1913, and this is a much older Igor Stravinsky actually conducting the work with considerably more success than his first attempt some 20 years earlier in 1940. This recording from 1960, as Phil Klein has told us, that's the New York Philharmonic performing under the name of
the Columbia Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah. Phil, your Rite of Spring Fever, this 24-hour marathon, will go through many iterations of Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. I have three favorite recordings, and they are all conducted by Pierre Boulez.
Well, there you go.
who is pretty high up on your list as well.
Well, he was certainly the hero of my youth because I was raised in the Cleveland area, and just when I was a young teenager, he was appointed the principal guest conductor, and he made that sensational recording with the Cleveland Orchestra, which to me it seemed like a particular arrival point for the piece. It was the first time I think most people said, it's perfect. They didn't even seem to struggle. It's like it was right at that moment. And as a matter of fact, in the years since, I think there's been a phenomenon where you hear a lot of first-rate orchestras play it and you say, it sounds like they're just sort of, you know, they're not even thinking about it anymore. It's not scary anymore.
Right.
And the Boulez was just right at that perfect moment in time. And yeah, it's one of the immortal recordings.
So you like the first of the two Cleveland Orchestra recordings?
I prefer it. The second one's good too. It's a little more relaxed. It's a little different.
Right. And I kind of like the ORTF recording.
He made that old one, yeah.
The old one.
A lot of us, that was one of the first ones we could afford because it was on Nonesuch.
Yeah. That was the first one for me. But yeah, this first of the two recordings that Pierre Boulez did with Cleveland. And, you know, I asked him once, why are you able to see the forest and the trees with this piece? And he said, because I learned it playing a piano four hands version with no less a person than Olivier Messiaen, the great French composer. All right, so the two piano version has a long and distinguished history. We'll be celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Rite of Spring with a solo piano version by Vicky Chow. That's in the green space on May 29th, the actual centennial, at 7 p.m. You can get details at thegreenspace.org. Here's the Boulez recording, the first of his two recordings with the Cleveland Orchestra. Conductor Pierre Boulez and the Cleveland Orchestra, and just a little bit, The Dance of the Adolescents from Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. We are celebrating its 100th anniversary, May 29th. The piece debuted, famous riot ensued. We all know that story by now. May 29th, 1913. Phil Klein, composer, will be hosting Q2 Music's Rite of Spring Fever all day that day, 24-hour marathon. You better sleep up before. that's at q2music.org. And at 7 o'clock that evening, we'll be in the Green Space, our ground floor performance venue, with pianist Vicky Chow doing a solo piano version. The Rite of Spring goes solo. And you can get tickets at thegreenspace.org. Phil Klein's with me on soundcheck. The work was intended, and the ballet that it accompanied, both were intended to evoke a kind of ancient pre-Christian Russia. And despite that, there haven't been so many great Russian recordings of the Rite of Spring. Now, Leon Botstein, the conductor, told us that actually the work was, and Stravinsky in general, better received in the West than back home in Russia.
Of course, he was a Parisian, really, at the time that it premiered, and he never went back to Russia after the war.
After
the First World War, yeah. And, he wrote most of The Rite of Spring in Switzerland. He actually, I think he finished it in Paris. I was shocked when I realized, I never knew that there was a big break in between finishing the first half and finishing the rest of it. Like a couple of months, which to me seems, how could you have written that? And he wrote it in fever pitch.
Right, right.
And then just, I'll finish it later. But man, stay on it. You've got it. Go. Yeah. But, there never was a Russian performing tradition. At the same time, there were a few Russians who made it a specialty, and one of them is very high on my top 10 list, a man who's not that well remembered now, Igor Markevich.
Oh, yeah.
Who made a recording. I mean, he was a very successful conductor. And he made a recording with the Philharmonia Orchestra of London for EMI it was right around the same time as the Bernstein. I think it was 59. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the truly great recordings. And now, actually, we've got Valery Gergiev, who is really kicking up some dust with the piece.
Mm-hmm. So, with which orchestra?
Kirov.
So this is his home team,
his
basically.
Own band, yeah. And they really, since, like I said, there's not really a Russian performing tradition of it, it's a very intuitive performance. It's very earthy. It's very wild. I know some people hate it, but I think it's because it just stands outside of what they're used to. You know, there is a tradition of performing it, and actually, oddly enough, American orchestras have made it, very much their own.
Yeah.
You know, like the Boston Symphony has a tradition, and the New York Philharmonic and the Cleveland Orchestra all have Rite of Spring traditions. But, yeah, his version with the Kirov is really great.
This is Valery Gergiev, the Russian conductor, and the Kirov Orchestra with The Dance of the Earth from Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. That's a little bit of Stravinsky's Rite of Spring in a recent recording by Valery Gergiev, the much-traveled Russian conductor, but this time performing with his house band, the Kirov Orchestra, there at the Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg. And we're speaking with Phil Klein, the composer who is hosting Q2 Music's day-long Rite of Spring Fever Marathon on the actual 100th anniversary, May 29th, the same day that we're doing the Rite of Spring Goes Solo with pianist Vicky Chow, to mark the... This really was a momentous occasion, a turning point in Western classical music.
It's very interesting that we often celebrate the birthdays of composers. I cannot think of any other example where we celebrate the birthday of a piece.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, this piece was almost beyond... I think Stravinsky acknowledged the piece was almost beyond him.
Well, what did he say? He said that he felt like it was just a vessel, that it just came to him and
came... It passed through him.
Yeah. And out his fingers and onto the piano. I mean, he did write it at the piano, so hearing a solo piano version, not the most inappropriate thing in the world.
Not at all.
You've been listening, obviously, Phil, to many, many recordings of the Rite of Spring. When May 29th is over, will you ever listen to it again?
Of course I will. Actually, I like it better now than I did a few weeks ago.
All right. Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, celebrating its 100th anniversary on May 29th. Phil Klein will be hosting Q2 Music's Rite of Spring Fever all that day and all that night. More info at q2music.org. Phil, good to see you again.
You too, John.